Welcome to the Mercy Hill Church podcast. This podcast is a collection of sermons and conversations intended to stir up your affections for Jesus. We hope this content helps you know and tell the story of Jesus better.
Well, amen. You can have a seat. Good morning. My name is Brandon. I am one of the pastors here at Mercy Hill. It is great to see you this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. If you got a Bible, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. 2004, some of you may remember, film producer, director named Morgan Spurlock released a documentary called Super Size Me. Anybody watch Super Size Me? Now, that documentary has since come on a little fire because his research methods weren't exactly perfect, some issues with it. But the premise of the movie was Morgan Spurlock only ate McDonald's for 30 days, for an entire month. And he went over the top, consuming about 5,000 calories of McDonald's every day with no exercise, and gained over the course of 30 days, 24 pounds. Some of you are like, man, I could do that over the holidays. You know what I mean? That's not a big deal. 24 pounds, his cholesterol went through the roof, and by day 21, his doctor was begging him to stop because of what consuming fast food with no exercise, 5,000 calories, did to his body over 30 days. I think this morning we are in an age culturally where we are in danger of doing the same thing, but not with fast food, instead with information. Experts say that about 500 years ago, a well-educated person would consume about 74 gigabytes of data in their lifetime. In 2024, we do that in a single day. That's double what the average person consumed in 2009, which is 15 years ago, and 10 times what the average person consumed in 1986. We create currently 328 billion gigabytes of data a day. For a comparison, that's 124,385 trillion copies of War and Peace, or 131,508 human brains worth of data. It's a lot. We have access to more information than we've ever had right at our fingertips. We can create more information than we ever had, but we are still struggling in our relationships, with our finances, with our jobs. Access to this amount of information, has it better equipped us to navigate the challenges of our world? Instead, with the rise of internet, it has brought anxiety and stress instead of the flourishing that we were promised. We have hard drives and servers full of information, but very little wisdom. Brett McCracken says, our world has more and more information, but less and less wisdom. More data, less clarity, more stimulation, less synthesis, more distraction, less stillness, More pontificating, less pondering, more opinion, less research, more speaking, less listening, more to look at, less to see, more amusements, less joy. There is more, but we, he says, are less, and we all feel it. You feel it, right? Our overindulgence of information hasn't made us more wise, more thoughtful, more discerning, or more joyful. Instead, like Morgan Spurlock in Super Size Me, it has served to prevent us from growing in wisdom, insight, and understanding. Proverbs, though, is a book about wisdom and how to obtain it. It's a collection of principles for navigating God's word well. It's about being wise in our wealth, being wise in our relationships, being wise in our work, being wise in our families, and being wise with our choices. Now, before we get to Proverbs chapter 1, we do have to take just a couple of minutes for me to make sure you understand what the book of Proverbs is. You know, here at Mercy Hill, we often talk about we want to read the Bible as it was intended to be read by its original audience. So the book of Proverbs is wisdom literature, which is different from a biblical narrative like we've gone through in 1 and 2 Samuel over the past couple weeks. It's different then from a letter or an epistle written by Paul to one of the churches like we've studied before. It is wisdom literature. It's a collection of principles, not promises. The Proverbs, we don't find formulas for success, but recognize patterns of truth in God's world. So Proverbs give us a general rules or patterns for the world. And the two other wisdom books, Job and Ecclesiastes, give us all the exceptions to the rules. And so we want to read Proverbs in light of not only its genre, wisdom literature, but also the books that surround it. This is so important. I'm trying to spare you some heartache. If you read the Proverbs like promises, you will be disappointed. And more than likely, you will be disappointed with God. And if we do that, we will be missing the point of the book. The book are a series, collection of principles to help us understand how to live wisely in God's world. So Proverbs chapter 1 starts like this. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom, instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealings, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth, to let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. So Solomon starts the book by telling us why he's collected all of these wisdom principles. And the reason he's done it is he wants to teach us how to live in wisdom. He's assembling this collection so that his readers can grow in wisdom and understanding. And then this book of wisdom literature is included in our scripture so that we too can read these principles and understand how to walk wisely in God's world. So we could say it this way: God desires, by including the book of Proverbs in the scripture, God desires for us to walk wisely in his world. Now, what is wisdom? Wisdom is understanding how to live in God's world, the place that God has created. Wisdom is not synonymous with being highly educated. You can have multiple degrees and not be wise. You could complete a very strenuous program of study at Kennesaw State University, and after graduation, not obtain wisdom. You can have a high school diploma and not grow in wisdom. You could be an expert in your field, but lack wisdom. You can be incredibly intelligent and still lack wisdom. Anthony Salvaggio says it this way: information is about facts. Knowledge is about fitting related facts together, but wisdom is about using knowledge well. So information and knowledge don't necessarily mean that you make the best decision. To use knowledge and information well, you and I need what the Bible calls wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to make good decisions based on information and knowledge. It's applying the information that we have consumed to our everyday lives. It's discerning if something is true or not. Wisdom is action. It's living rightly or righteously is what the Proverbs says, not just knowing what is right. So the question for us this morning is, how do I walk in this sort of wisdom? Well, the Proverbs are specifically designed to help us understand how to walk wisely in God's world. In order to walk wisely, we actually have to pay attention to the sources of information that we are listening to and consuming on a daily basis. The example would be like a top-level athlete. I don't know if you remember several years ago when Michael Phelps was in the Olympics and they released what he ate every day, how finely tuned and a lot it was. But in order for him to perform at peak performance, he had to carefully structure his diet. And we likewise have to carefully structure what we are consuming and taking in if we are then going to walk in wisdom. So three things this morning, three patterns we see in the Proverbs about how we walk in wisdom. The first thing that we see is the posture of someone who is pursuing wisdom. And that posture is fearing the Lord. Number one, fearing the Lord. Verse 7 in Proverbs chapter 1 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then in Proverbs 9:10, says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So here the Proverbs say, there is a posture. If you want to pursue wisdom, it begins in a certain place, and that certain place is fearing the Lord. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? Here's what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean experiencing absolute terror whenever we think about God. It doesn't mean constantly walking on eggshells, worried that God is going to strike us down with a bolt of lightning. It does mean that we see God rightly and we see ourselves rightly. That we see God for who he really is. That we see his character. That he's all powerful, all knowing, and all wise. That God is without limits. That he's not dependent on us or our actions or our decisions. We see that God is the very definition of love, that he is full of grace and mercy and compassion. It's seeing rightly God in his works, that when we approach him, we are approaching a God who is powerful and mighty, who created everything that exists with the power of his word, the same God who appeared to Moses in the burning bush, the same God who sent the plagues that we've studied, the same God who parted the Red Sea, the same God who worked through David to kill a giant. That we see God rightly in his love and grace. That we see this God and know that he is the God who loved us so much that he sent his one and only son to die for us on the cross and raise from the dead in order to invite us into a relationship with him. That we see God's words rightly. That we know what God speaks or what God says carries weight, that it's not a trivial matter. That when we see God rightly, we should be overwhelmed. That is the fear of the Lord. Not the fear of watching a horror movie or a scary film, but the fear of being before someone who is so powerful and so loving that it causes us to physically respond, to be overwhelmed, to tremble and to rejoice. So why is this fear of the Lord the beginning of wisdom or knowledge or understanding? Well, that foundation of wisdom, seeing God clearly, also means that we see ourselves rightly and we see, I'm not any of those things, right? That's not my character. Those aren't the works that I produce. My words don't carry those sort of weight. And so in order to pursue wisdom, it starts with when we see God and we see ourselves, we are humble. We go, oh, I'm dependent on God. Oh, I don't have that sort of power. My words don't add up in that way. I'm limited in my understanding, so I need the Lord to direct me. Also, when we see God clearly, we gain confidence in what God has said. When we're living in God's world, as creatures made by a creator, we understand rightly that he designed us, that he knows our hearts and the world that we live in, that he's not limited and that he's willing to lead us and guide us. So we humbly assess ourselves, but then we can also be confident in who God is, what he does, and what he's said. So if you want to pursue wisdom, it starts with, the Proverbs say, the fear of the Lord. Not being petrified, but being overwhelmed by who he is, seeing him rightly and seeing ourselves rightly. The second practice that we see in the book of Proverbs is listening to wisdom. Check out verse 8. It says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. So here's what Solomon's saying. He's saying to his own son and to us, hey, we've collected all this wisdom to pass down for you. It's all in this book. Here's what I need you to do now. Listen. The implication is to heed, to take it to heart, to receive the instruction, to put it into practice. Later in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified. In chapter 8, wisdom then speaks and says this, and now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Verse 35 of chapter 8, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself, and all who hate me love death. Wisdom says, if you want to grow in wisdom, what? Listen, heed, take it in. We talked about this idea of a diet. The idea is that you and I pursue sources of wisdom in order to instruct us and help us gain understanding. So this is listening to the Lord, knowing his word, but it's more than that. It's listening to wise counsel. Teenagers, it's listening to your parents. It's pursuing other sources of understanding. If we want to walk wisely in God's world, we must establish a diet of wisdom. We need the right sources. We need to consume wisely, not just consume whatever rolls up next on YouTube. The number three pattern we see in the Proverbs is leaving the foolish. Verse 7, again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but what? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's a comparison that runs all the way through the book between the wise and the foolish. The wise fear the Lord, listen to instruction. The wise person gains not just information, but understanding and insight. The fool, on the other hand, has no fear of the Lord, but fears only the opinions of other people. So the foolish person is easily swayed. The foolish person in the Proverbs rejects instruction, despises wisdom and insight. Chapter 13, verse 20, the Proverbs says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of the fools will suffer him. And the theme over and over again is not only do we need to take in wisdom from good sources, but we need to leave behind or separate ourselves from what is foolish, what doesn't lead to wisdom. Fearing the Lord and listening to wisdom means we have to leave behind, for instance, the fear of man. That we can't live our lives worried about everybody else's opinion or being swayed by what's popular or in fad in a particular moment in time. We have to reject the influence of foolish people who don't live wisely. I love this idea in student ministry because it's so blatantly obvious. Got a 14 or 15-year-old kid, so excited about becoming an individual, their own selves. And for some reason, what they decide is that the parents who have lovingly, gently guided them into healthy living for 14 years are complete morons. And instead, who they need to listen to more than anyone else is the other kid failing chemistry with pimples and drinks too much Mountain Dew at lunch, right? And you're like, yeah, this seems like a good trade. Now, that's like a caricature that we could see. But the reality is we all do that, right? We all, in some way or another, leave behind good, godly wisdom to pursue something else. In fact, it's not much different from deciding that your life should be shaped by what you read on Facebook instead of what you read in the scripture. Not much different. It's the adult version of peer pressure. So what do we do? Well, if we are to walk wisely in God's world, we must have a healthy diet of wisdom. How do we do that? How do we find that? You guys remember the food pyramid? You guys see this up on the screen? Yeah, food. You guys remember this? So this came from Sweden in the 1970s. Actually, in Sweden in the 70s, they were experiencing really high food prices. And what they noticed is their citizens, because of the high food prices, weren't eating well. And so they developed the food pyramid in order to teach their citizens how to have a properly balanced diet on a budget. In 1992, that came to the United States. We adopted a similar food pyramid by 2011. For those of you who are a little bit younger, this was replaced by My Plate, which is just a plate with the portions divvied up. Some of you guys have seen that. The purpose is to help people understand how to consume a diet that's beneficial to their physical health, right? The idea is this: a diet of Sour Patch Kids, French fries, and Mountain Dew is not good for you. It will lead you to Morgan Spurlock level health, right? From Supersize. Well, a couple years ago in 2021, Brett McCracken released a book called The Wisdom Pyramid, where he proposed a similar triangle of sources of wisdom for you and I to pursue in order to walk wisely in God's word. It's an aid to help us evaluate and prioritize what our sources of information should be. That just like a diet of soda, French fries, and Sour Patch Kids is going to lead you a direction, he's saying a diet of YouTube, Facebook, and the 24-hour news cycle is actually going to lead you to be foolish. Actually, away from wisdom. And he arranges his pyramid from what endures to what's fleeting. So let's check it out. So he starts at the lowest level. What you need the most of in your life, the thing that's the most enduring, he says, is God's word, the scripture. That God's direct speech to us through his word is an infallible source of truth and wisdom that makes us wise by revealing who God is, what our world is actually like, and who we are. So he says at the bottom of your wisdom pyramid should be the scripture, should be the foundation where we go to become wise. Secondly, he suggests the church. That God's spirit-filled people in a local embodied community across all the world and across all of time is a place that God uses to make us wise. It's a place where we receive, like the Proverbs talk about, good and godly counsel, where we connect with other people who are pursuing wise living, where we are encouraged to walk in righteousness and goodness, where we are reminded every time we show up on a Sunday that we are not in charge. We've talked about this before, but I just want to remind you again how valuable that is in your life. To show up at a place that does not revolve around you is healthy and helps us pursue wisdom. The third level, he says, is nature, God's creation. That if you and I want to walk wisely in God's world, that we need to get out of the four walls of our homes and walk in God's creation. That God has revealed himself to us in his creation. That creation reminds us of who God is, his power, his might, his glory. Creation reminds us of our smallness, how little the world is about us, and getting out and pursuing life outside is a reminder of how we can navigate life in God's world. So he says, if you want to have a foundation of wisdom, you start with the scripture. I mean, you need to belong to a community of faith, people who are encouraging you to walk wisely. And you need to take some time away from the screen, getting outside and experiencing wisdom. Fourth level, he says, are books. That people have written down wisdom for generations and generations, and you and I have access to it. That good books can help us think wisely about our world. That good books can help us think more deeply, more broadly, and more carefully about God's word and our own lives. So he says, man, one of the essential things is good books. Now, the great part about that for you and me is you don't have to be a reader anymore, right? I mean, we can get audiobooks. We can do all sorts of things. I love reading great books because it is the closest thing to sitting down and having coffee with amazing people that you and I can get, right? So he says good books. Next level, he says beauty. Man, if we want to live wise lives, we need to pursue art, culture, creativity, wonder, and rest. That patterns of consuming great creative products is really good for our soul. That it engages our hearts, it causes us to slow down and is inspiring. Listening to great music, witnessing great visual art, experiencing the rest that comes with Sabbath is all part of growing in wisdom. And then finally, up at the top, and this should be no surprise, he puts the internet and social media. Like, we can find wisdom and good information online. That's true. And it can affect us for the better and be a source of wisdom for us, 100%. The problem is it's also shaping us. It's shaping us to believe that we can get wisdom instantly, which isn't true. It's shaping us to believe that all we need is information. We don't need good, healthy application. It's not true. It's shaping us to believe that we can live fulfilled lives isolated from other people, not living in community. And what we're experiencing right now says that's not actually true. So he doesn't propose we need to just get rid of it. You need to like delete Instagram immediately, right? But it is the most fleeting, least enduring, and we need to treat it that way, right? Does that make sense? Now, this wisdom pyramid isn't necessarily about volume, maybe like the food pyramid, right? It's not a calorie intake guide for this wisdom pyramid. Instead, what he's saying is there are sources that we should trust and make a priority, and we should do that on a daily or regular basis in our lives. Now, this also isn't scripture, right? This is just a good suggestion or a good guideline for how you and I can incorporate pursuing wisdom into our daily lives. Brett McCracken says again, wisdom is not something you can Google or download in one fell swoop. It's accumulated over time and through experience. The key to the Proverbs is living. It's a daily practice. Is praying for wisdom, learning wisdom, and putting it into practice. Now, the good news for us is we have a great example. In the scripture, we have an example of someone who is completely wise, living life as a human on earth. And it's not Solomon, it's Jesus. And so we can see in the life of Jesus what wisdom in practice looks like. Not only that, but it's a little bit more than that. Remember, we talked a little bit about the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord in the scripture is actually used relationally to describe men and women who know God rightly, not just see God rightly. And the way that you and I can know God rightly is by knowing Jesus, God's Son. That through Jesus, we are invited not just into wisdom, but into a right relationship with God. Where we can know God, see God, and walk with God. And so, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, we could also say this, properly relating to God through Jesus, his Son, is the beginning of wisdom. That's how we grow in the fear of the Lord. It's by knowing Christ. That's where it starts. So today, if you want to walk wisely, if you want to walk wisely in God's world, man, that wisdom pyramid is helpful. But where that actually starts is by knowing God. And the way to know God is to come to faith in Jesus Christ, who brings us in as adopted sons and daughters into God's family. If you already know Christ, I would encourage you to walk in the fear of the Lord, not petrified that God's going to strike you down. But constantly reminding yourself that he's God and I'm not. He's something different than me. He is maximum in both his power and might, but also in his goodness and grace. And then I would love this morning if you would consider, seriously consider, how you can, starting this week, change your diet. From a diet of supersize me, onslaught of information, YouTube videos, rolling into YouTube videos, Facebook scrolling, Instagram scrolling, hours and hours a day, into a diet that promotes walking wisely. Founded on God's word, connected with God's people, overwhelmed by God's creation, leaning on the insight of God's people throughout history and good books, experiencing the beauty that the people of God can create in art and literature and music,
beauty and rest. And limiting an overindulgence of information that is shaping us to walk as fools, not as those who are wise.
Thanks for listening to the Mercy Hill Church podcast. To keep up with the life of Mercy Hill Church, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We believe the Christian life is best experienced in community. If you're in our area, we'd love for you to join us. If not, we'd love to help you get plugged into a local church near you. Have a great week.